Today's daf is Psachim Daf Samach Vav, and we are 10 lines from the top of Daf Samach Vav Amir Aleph, the beginning of the Gemara. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Liza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Dvora Bas Mecha, and Shmu ben Tehila. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral. Today's daf is being learned for Ilui Nishmas, Shloime Ephraim ben Aharon, Elio Moshe ben Meir, Avram ben Yibodol Chaim Ramosha Chaim, and Avram Yitzchak ben Yechiel Mechel, that's my grandfather, Rabbi Avram Yitzchak Mir, whose yard side it is today. So we began at the end of the daf portion of yesterday's daf, the sixth parak of Masechtas Pesachim, which continues discussing the halachos of Korban Pesach. Specifically, the Mishnah began with the idea that the Korban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. The Korban Pesach was brought on Yud Dalet Nisan. It wasn't brought on Pesach. Rather, it was brought on Erev Pesach. Now, it was eaten on Pesach at the Leil HaSeder, but the Hakrava, the Shechita, the Kabbalah, the Hilacha, the Zrika, it was all done on Erev Pesach. Yud Dalet Nisan. If Yud Dalet Nisan falls out on Shabbos, says the Mishnah, the halacha is that the Korban Pesach will be Doicha Shabbos. Stating that, the Mishnah mentioned the machloik is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, whether it's only the Korban Pesach itself that's Doicha Shabbos, or whether the Machshirei Pesach would also be Doicha Shabbos. So that's Pasha, that shechting the Korban Pesach, even though it entails doing a Malacha Deiraisa, it would be Doicha Shabbos. What about carrying the animal from point A to point B? What about taking it outside the tchum in order to be able to bring the Korban Pesach? You're doing it for the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, so based on that, you can argue that it should be Doicha Shabbos. But then again, it's not the actual akrava. So that was something that was discussed in the Mishnah. Either way, today's daf is a fascinating daf. Sai, from the perspective of Lundis, there's Musar in today's daf, and there's also a lot of very interesting rest of the story in today's daf. Either way, a classic, classic daf that discusses many things. The backdrop, however, is the idea that the Korban Pesach was Doicha Shabbos. As the Gemara Tanu Rabbanon, we learned in a braisa, halacha zu nisalmu mibnei b'seira. The following halacha was forgotten from the b'nei b'seira. What was the halacha? And what were the circumstances surrounding the fact that the B'nai B'seira forgot this halachas? As the Brayis HaPamachas Chalar Bas Aliyas B'Shabbos. One year, the 14th day of Nisan fell out on Shabbos. Shakchu V'lo Yadu. And the B'nai B'seira forgot, and they didn't know, in Pesach Doiches HaShabbos Amlav. They just simply were not aware whether Pesach Doiches Shabbos or not. Amru, they said, Klum Yesh Adam Shiyadei and Pesach Doiches HaShabbos Amlav. So they turned and to the Olam, and they said, is there anyone that knows, is there anyone that has any information as to whether or not Pesach is Doiches HaShabbos? Amru Lahem. So the people told the B'nai B'seira, Adam Echad Yesh, there's one person, Sha'olam Mibavel. He came from Bavel. V'hilu L'Bavli Shamoi. His name is Hillel HaBavli. He was a Babylonian. He came from Bavel. Sheshimei Shnei Gedoyli Ador Shmaya Vavtalian. He served. He was a Talmud of the two Gedoyli Ador Shmaya Vavtalian. V'yodei, and he will know in Pesach Doiches HaShabbos Amlav. Whether Pesach is Doiches HaShabbos or not. Shalchu V'karulah. So the B'nei B'seira called Hillel. Amru Loi. They told him, Klumat Yedeim and Pesach Doiches HaShabbos Amlav. Do you know whether Pesach is Doiches HaShabbos? Amalem. So he told him, V'chi Pesach Echad Yesh Lanu B'shono Shedoiches HaShabbos. You make it sound like this is a very rare occasion that we would be discussing whether or not Pesach is Doicha Shabbos, as if to say this is something that happens once a year. There are more than 200 Pesachim a year that are Doicha Shabbos. Now, there aren't more than 200 Pesachim that are Doicha Shabbos. What Hillel meant was there are more than 200 Karbonos Tzibur that are brought on Shabbos, and if a Korban Tzibur can be brought on Shabbos, meaning a Korban Tzibur is Doicha Shabbos, then the Korban Pesach should also be able to be Doicha Shabbos. Amrulai, so they told Hillel Minayin Lucha, how do you know that there's a connection between the Karbanos Tzibur and the Korban Pesach? Even if granted the Karbanos Tzibur Adoicha Shabbos, more than 200 a year, but at the same time, just because the Karbanos Tzibur Adoicha Shabbos, does that mean the Korban Pesach is Adoicha Shabbos? Amalem, so he told him, yeah, I know from Xerishav, Nemar, it says the word Mayadoi regarding the Korban Pesach. The Pasuk says, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael es ha-Pasach b'mayadoi. V'nemar, and it says, mayadoi b'tamid. Regarding the Korban Tamid. Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'yomar ta'aleim es korboni lachni le'ishai reyach nichoichi tishmeru lahakriv li b'mayadoi. Said Hillel, ma mayadoi amir b'tamid doichas ha-Shabbos. The word mayadoi that it says by Korban Tamid is doichas ha-Shabbos, because the Tamid is doichas ha-Shabbos. Af mayadoi amir b'pesach doichas ha-Shabbos. So too, mayadoi that it says regarding the Korban Pesach would have to be doichas ha-Shabbos. So the B'nai B'Seir came to Hillel, who they had some inside information. Someone gave them a scoop that he may know the halacha, whether Pesach is Leicha Shabbos. And they turned to him, tell me, Klumat Yedei, do you know if it's Leicha Shabbos? He said, yeah, of course it's Leicha Shabbos. How do I know that? Because if Karbonet Sibura Leicha Shabbos, the Karbon Tamid, for example, then there's no reason that the Pesach shouldn't be Leicha Shabbos. And he said, what Shaiches? What does the Karbon Pesach have to do with the Karbon Tamid? So he said, it says, Lahakruv Libim Mayadi by the Karbon Tamid, and it says, Vyasub Ne Yisrael Pesach B'Mayadi regarding the Karbon Pesach. If it's Stoich here, it's Stoich there. In other words, I know from the Midah of Gzeir Shava that it's Leicha Shabbos. And then he doubled down and he told him Kavu Chaimru. Meaning, not only do I have a Gzeir Shava, but I have a Kavu Chaimru as well. What's the Kavu Chaimru? The carbon tamid, where if the yidden would be mevatel the carbon tamid, they wouldn't bring it. Nobody would be chayiv karis. Carbon tamid is a very big deal. It's the zevach hamiyuchadli, like the Gemara says. But at the same time, it doesn't carry with it the very serious punishment of karis. Yet it's doich hashabbos. Pesach she'onish karis ein edin she'doich hashabbos. So Pesach, which carries with it an einish of karis, if someone doesn't bring the carbon Pesach, he's chayiv karis. Certainly, it should be doich hashabbos. Says the Gemara miyad. Immediately after this happened, hashivu berosh. They gave Hillel a stellar. They said, Hillel, you're not going anywhere. You're not going back to Bavel. And they gave him a position, Uminu Nasi Aleim. Not just that, they made him into a Nasi. So who was the Nasi before Hillel was appointed as Nasi? Va'oid. Who exactly were the B'nai B'Seira? So the Marshon Chidushi Agadah says, number one, the B'nai B'Seira were three Tanoim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira, Rabbi Shimon ben Beseira, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. They were brothers, and they all ruled Eretz Yisrael together. Now, says the Marshal, one of the three were the Nasi. Not sure which, but one of them was the Nasi, says the Marshal. But on some level, they all ruled together. When they were so impressed by Hillel, they realized that Hillel was more worthy of being the Nasi than they were. So they appointed Hillel to the Shteller. He now would become the Nasi. Says the Gemara, as soon as Hillel became the Nasi, this was Erev Pesach. So he went and he darshened the entire day in Hilchas Pesach. In the middle of his drasha, so he's giving an epic Shabbos HaGadol drasha, he turns to the Olam and he starts chapping them a little bit. And he gave the Musar. Amar Lemi told him, Mi garam lochem she'elam mibavel, ve'eya nasi aleichem. You know, I was wondering, why did I end up in Eretz Yisrael? I was living in Bavel. So what caused me to come here? And not just that, to be the nasi over you. It's atzlo she'oisa bochem. It's because you were lazy. Shloshimashtem shnei gedoli ador, shmai v'avtalim. Because you had the opportunity to be meshamish shmai v'avtalim just like I did. And had you been meshamish them properly, you would have known this halacha, and you could have been roy to be nasi. The fact that you didn't and I did is the reason that I'm the Nasi and you're not, and it was because of your laziness. They said, Rebbe, let me ask you another question. What's the halacha? If somebody forgot to bring a knife, Erev Shabbos, and now it's Shabbos, Yudal Nisan, it's time to bring the Korban Pesach, but he has no knife, he has no ability now to be able to shech the Korban Pesach. Is carrying the knife also Doicha Shabbos or not? We just established Hillel did with Gzeir Shava and the Kal V'chomer that the halacha is that the actual offering of the Korban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. But now the B'nai B'Seira asked Hillel another question. They want to know, what about the Machshirim? What about carrying the knife, for example? Would that be Doicha Shabbos? Omelem, so he told him, halacha zu shamati v'shachachti. I have to be honest, Hillel said, I once knew this halacha, but I forgot. Elo, but he said, give you a little idea of how maybe we can figure out the halacha. Achlem liYisrael. Let's watch what the Yidden do. Because im ein neviim heim, b'nei neviim heim. The Yidden sometimes do things impulsively. Sometimes they just do. But Yidden are neviim. They're at the very least b'nei neviim. And whatever they do is probably going to be the emes. Meaning, let's see what happens tomorrow. Says the Gemara. The next day, whoever was bringing a tle, a sheep as the Korban Pesach, toich vay b'tzamroi. They took out their sheep and they put the knife inside the wool of the sheep. Meaning they didn't carry it by themselves, but they stuck it into the animal and the animal was carrying it on their behalf. Misha Pischaydi, if somebody's Karban Pesach was a goat, so the Karban Pesach was able to be a lamb or a goat. So if somebody was bringing a goat, Toichvei Ben Karnav, the goat doesn't have wool like a sheep does. As a result, you can't stick the knife into the wool. But what they did was they put it between the horns. Either way, Ram Maisev and Iskra Lacha. When Hillel saw what the Yidden did, he said, that's exactly what I heard from Shmaya Vavtayim. The Karban Pesach is Doich Shabbos. Why? Mayadim, Mayadim, we're learning out from the Karban Talmud. And not just that, it's even a Kal V'chomer. Regarding carrying the knife, no, you're not allowed to carry the knife. Because Machshire, Karban Pesach, are not Doich Shabbos. Not like the Mesoira that Rabbi Eliezer had, that not only is the Pesach Doich Shabbos, but the Machshire Pesach Doich Shabbos. So what should you do if you need a knife? You should carry the knife through the animal itself. If it's a sheep, you can take the knife and stick it into the wool without hurting or without giving the sheep a mum. If it's a goat, then you can put it between the carnive. Oh my, says the Gemara. So we're going to analyze this price a little bit. Never mayad by Pesach, never mayad by Tomet. It says mayad by the carbon Pesach, and it says mayad by the carbon Tomet. Mam mayad amr by Tomet, doiches haShabbos. Just about the carbon Tomet, it's doiches haShabbos. Ach mayad amr by Pesach, doiches haShabbos. So this was Hillel's Gzeirah Shavah to prove that the Karban Pesach is Doich HaShabbos. How did Hillel know that the Karban Tamid is Doich HaShabbos? Meaning, he proved that there's a Gzeirah Shavah between Pesach and Tamid. So if we can establish that the Tamid is Doich HaShabbos, we'll now know that the Pesach is Doich HaShabbos as well. But Hagufa, how do you know that the Karban Tamid is Doich HaShabbos? If you're going to tell me, maybe because it says B'mayadoi. Okay, what does B'mayadoi mean? You have to do it in its appropriate time. Meaning, you always do it. It doesn't matter if it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or if it's Shabbos. B'mayadoi, you're always supposed to do it. If the Makar, however, says the Gemara is B'mayadoi, which seems like a very reasonable source, but Pesach Namiyok's B'mayadoi, then why would we have to learn Pesach from Tamid? Gzeirah Shavah Kal V'chomer. If the Makar is Mayadoi, just like it says Mayadoi by Tamid, it says Mayadoi by Pesach. Those were the words that were used for the Gzeirah Shavah. So I would know it from the parasha of Pesach itself. I wouldn't have to learn it from the Gzeirah Shavah. Elo, Mayadoi le Mashmule. Must be from the fact that nobody, not the B'nai B'seir, not Hillel, were willing to learn that Pesach is Doich HaShabbos from the word B'mayadoi that it says by the Karban Pesach. Hachanami Mayadoi le Mashmule. That means you shouldn't be able to learn that the Karban Tamid is Doich HaShabbos from the fact that it says Mayadoi. Elo, Ma. Cross, you have to say it's learned that from somewhere else. The pasuk says, "Oylas Shabbos b'Shabbatoi, al Oylas Hatamid v'Nisko." So clearly, we're talking about Shabbos, Oylas Shabbos b'Shabbatoi, which is the carbon musaf that was brought on Shabbos. Says the pasuk, it was brought in addition to the Oylas Hatamid. Oh, it's a mafurish pasuk. Bechlal the Tamid garbe b'Shabbos. So you see clearly that the Tamid was born on Shabbos, and that's how Hillel knew that if the Tamid can be born on Shabbos, the Pesach can be born on Shabbos. Why? Number one, Gzeirah Shavah Mayad Mayadoi. Number two, Kal V'Chomer. What's the Kal V'Chomer? Tamid doesn't involve Karis, yet you see it's Doich HaShabbos. Pesach, which involves Karis, Kal V'Chomer, it should be Doich HaShabbos. Oh, my mar, v'oid Kal V'Chomer. Ma, tamid she'en onesh Karis, Doich HaShabbos. Pesach she'en onesh Karis, ein oidin she Doich HaShabbos. So Hillel told the B'nai B'Seira, I know that the Karban Pesach is Doich HaShabbos because I have a Gzeirah Shavah. Additionally, I know that the Karban Pesach is Doich HaShabbos because I have a Kal V'Chomer. Fake the Gemara, I don't understand the Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer is presupposing that there's a Kal in the Chomer. What's the Kal? The Oilas Tamid. What's the Chomer? The Karban Pesach. Why is the Oilas Tamid Kal? Because it doesn't involve Karis. Why is the Pesach Chomer? Because it doesn't involve Karis. For the Gemara, I can make a reverse argument. I can argue that maybe the Tamid is more Chomer than the Pesach. How so? Malo Tamid, Shekein Tadr. Number one, it's Tadr. Tadr is a Maila. Tadr v'she'enoi Tadr. Tadr Kaidim. So we know Tadr is a Maila. The Karban Tamid was brought every single day. Its whole name, its essence is Tamid. It was brought every single day. And it's Tadr. As a result, maybe it's more Chamor than the Karban Pesach that was only brought once a year. Additionally, the Kalal, it was a Karban Oila, which means all its meat was consumed by the fire on the Mizbeach, as opposed to a Karban Pesach, which is just a regular Karban, who had parts of its meat that went on the Mizbeach, but most of the meat was eaten. So if that's the case, you have two chumras that the Tamid has over the Karban Pesach. So isn't that a pirch on the Kal V'Chomer? Amalahu. So the Gemara says, you're right. Bereisha, originally, he told him the Kal V'Chomer. Meaning, when the B'nai B'Seira asked Hillel, tell me, do you know whether Pesach is Leich HaShabbos? He said, yeah, I know. How do I know? So he said, it's a Kal V'Chomer. And as soon as he said the Kal V'Chomer, uparchua. The B'nai B'Seira told him, I have a kash on your Kal V'Chomer. What's a Kal V'Chomer? Tamid is not Karis. Pesach is
Chorus. So for sure, if the Tod is Deicha Shabbos, the Pesach should be Deicha Shabbos. Efshe Fakert. Maybe the Tamid is an Oilo, so it's Kuloi Kolo. It's completely consumed. Not just that, it's Tadr. So after they knocked out the Kalva Chlemer, Hadamah the Gzeir Shavah. So then he told them the Gzeir Shavah. Meaning, Enochanami, there is a Pirch on the Kalva Chlemer. Initially, Hillel told them the Kalva Chlemer. It was only after they knocked out the Kalva Chlemer that he told them the Gzeir Shavah. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. If Hillel had this Gzeir Shavah in his pocket, that he was able to pull out at any point and say, this is a Gzeir Shavah, you can't ask any kashas on. A Gzeir Shavah is like it's Mefurish in the Torah. Right, there's a big difference. Not all Yud Gimel Midrash, Torah, and Dreshes then were created equally. This is for a whole nother day. But they're not all the same. Some of them you can dine by yourself, some of them you need a Mesirah for, some you can ask kashas on, some you can't ask kashas on, some sometimes you can ask kashas on. But a Gzeir Shavah, as far as Yud Gimel Midrash, Torah, and Dreshes behind goes, is the Shpitz. It's by far the most chamor. So if that's the case, if Hillel had a Gzeir Shavah, why did he even get involved in a Kal V'chomer? So the Gemara says, no, the reason is like this. El the Kamalo. He was talking to them. Because Bishlam Gzeir Shavah like Amriso. In order to say Gzeir Shavah, you have to have a Messiah. So Hillel knew that if I'm going to tell them Gzeir Shavah, they're going to be looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. I went to Yeshiva, we went to Cheder, and I went to Bismedrish. I never heard such a Gzeir Shavah. They ain't all them done Gzeir Shavah Miyatzma. So he figured, let me tell him a Kal V'chomer, because a Kal V'chomer is a Svara that anyone can say. As long as you can reason and come up with a nice Kal V'chomer, that would be enough. Now, in order to say a Kal V'chomer, you have to be a Lamdin, you have to be a Bucky. We've spoken about this in the past. Reb Chaim Brisker said, you have to be able to check off two boxes in order to say a Kal V'chomer. Another one, you have to be a big Lamdin, you have to be able to think of the Svara of the Kal V'chomer, and also you have to be a Bucky. Why? Because you have to make sure there's no pircha on the Kal V'chomer. So you have to know Kala Taira Kula to make sure there's no pirchas. We did a raid bite on this once. But either way, at the end of the day, you could say it. So Kal V'chomer, Adam Dami Atzmai, Yibayla Kula Meiden. So he said, listen, I'm not going to tell them about Gzeir Shavas because they don't have a Messiah on it. They don't have a Messiah on it. And they may start squirming. They may be a little bit uncomfortable. So I said, you know what? Here's the Kal V'chomer. But you know what happened? He told them the Kal V'chomer, Amalei Kal V'chomer Pircha. They said, we have a pircha on the Kal V'chomer. He says, all right, what should I do? I have no choice. So he pulled out the Gzeir Shavah, and that was the end of the conversation. Says the Gemara, Amar. So again, the original question that the B'nai B'Seira, they were the leaders of the Jewish people at the time, asked Hillel was, tell me, do you have any information? We heard that you were Meshamish Shmaya Vavtalion, you have a reputation to be a big Eloi, you came from Bavel, the great yeshiva is there. Do you know whether or not Karban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos? He said, yes, I know it. Kal V'chomer. They knocked out the Kal V'chomer. Then he said, Gzeir Shabbos. But then they had another question. They want to know, what do you do if you don't have a knife? Shachach. The Lehevi Sakin. Can you carry the knife or not? So he said, I'll tell you what I was makabel from Shmaya Vavtalion. The Messiah was that you're not supposed to carry it, but rather you're supposed to put it in the animal, and the animal itself is going to carry it. Where in the animal do you put it? So they were very precise, Shmaya Vavtalion. They said, if it's a sheep, you put it in the wool. If it's a goat, you put it between the horns. Why was this okay? This is what the Yidden did. Neviim, B'nai Neviim, and this is what Hillel said he heard from Shmaya Vavtali. Why is this okay? You're not allowed to do avodah with kachim. We're dealing with a Pesach. It's a carbon. If it's a carbon, you can't be mishtamish with a carbon. So here, the carbon is doing work for you. It's carrying the knife for you. So l'chur, that shouldn't be okay. So the Gemara says, Kehillel, which of course is Hillel l'shitasai, the Tanya we learned to the Brayso, Amru al-Olav al-Hillel. It is said regarding Hillel, Meyamav le'mal adam b'yvasa. No one was ever mayal. Nobody ever benefited from the oila of carbon of Hillel. Why? Ela mevia, because he had a trick. He would bring chulin la'azara, which is a little problematic, umakdisha, and he would be makdish, the animal, in the azara. He would immediately do smicha, v'shoichta, and then he would shecht it. The point is, Hillel had a minig that he would always be makdish, the animal, in the azara. He would never be makdish an animal earlier, because he was afraid. He was worried that somebody may have personal benefit from the animal, and that's a problem. You're going to be mael behektish. Mi'il is one of the most serious parashias in the Torah. If someone's mael behektish, you don't just bring a chatas. You bring an asham, which the Ramban says in Parashas Vayikra, is a lot more chamah than a carbon chatas. It's very, very intense. But says the Gemara, so this is Hillel l'shitasai. Hillel told the Olam, don't be makdish the carbon Pesach in your house. Don't walk it up to the Harabayas while it's already hektish. You'll be makdish it in the Azara, which means that up until you get into the Azara, it's fine. You're not doing Avayda B'Kachem, because it's not Kachem anymore. Says the Gemara, there's another issue here. You know what the problem is? Because Pesach B'Shabbos, Heichim Matzi Makdish, this was Shabbos.
And if this is Shabbos, you can't be makdish something on Shabbos. But tonight it's a Mishnah Masechtes Beis. Ein makdishin, ve ein marichin, ve ein machrim. These are different types of hektish. Ve ein magbiim chumah ma'isus. You can't be mafish chumah ma'isus. Kolel b'yantiv amr. The Mishnah says this is on yantiv kal b'chamim b'Shabbos. And certainly not on Shabbos. Shabbos is more chamer than yantiv. But what do you see from here? You can't make something hektish on Shabbos. So if you can't make something hektish on Shabbos, Hill's tricks not going to work. Hill had this very nice minig miyamav leima ladim b'ilasa because he used to bring the animal chul and lazar. The problem is, on Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to do that. Because now you're going to have to make it into a Pesach on Shabbos, and on Shabbos, you're not allowed to be makdish something. So the Gemara says, this halacha that you're not allowed to be makdish an animal, that's only true if you're being makdish it for something that's not kavul azman. So you're going to make something an oila. You're not bringing that oila today, so why are you being makdish on Shabbos for? It's not something you're supposed to do. But if it's kavul azman, that's something you can do. And of course, the hezbron this is that the iser in makdish is not an iser deraisa. The whole list is an iser derabanan. So being that it's an iser derabanan, the rabbanan said if you don't need it, so you can't be makdish it. If you do need it, it's kavul azman. It's a zman garam. It's something you need right now. Then you'd be able to. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan said this mefurish makdash adam as pischoy b'shabbes v'chagigasim b'yantiv. You let it be makdash your Pesach on Shabbos. You let it be makdash your carbon chagig on yantiv because being that it's a carbon that's kavod on zman, you need it now for yantiv. So this is something that you would be allowed to do. But the Gemara has another problem. Why was it okay to take the knife, stick it into the sheep, into the goat, and walk it that way up to the harabayis, into the azor of aloi mechamer? Aren't you being mechamer? At the end of the day, the animal's doing malacha. Right? We know that just like a person's not allowed to do malacha, his avadim are not allowed to do malacha, his children are not allowed to do malacha, leisase, kol malacha, atu, bincha, vitecha, abdecha, mascha, ubehemtecha. Your behemah is also not allowed to do malacha. Now, ordinarily, if a person's behemah does malacha, he violates an aseh. Shvisas behema, we did intros on this and read bites on this throughout Masechta Shabbos. There's something called Shvisas behema, and the Issa Shvisas behema is only an Issa Aseh. However, when it comes to an animal doing malacha, and you're participating on some level, there, not only is it an Aseh, it's even a Lois Aseh. It's known as the Lav of Mechamer. Now, to be Mechamer literally means to follow or to lead a donkey. But the Lav of Mechamer is not exclusive to donkeys, and it's not exclusive to leading an animal, but rather the concept is that if you're not just allowing your animal to do malacha, but you're actually playing a little role in the malacha that's being done, it gets upgraded, does the Isser, from being simply an Aseh to even being a Lois Aseh. Now, one of the Lama test malachas is Eitzah, you're not allowed to carry. So if the animal's going to be carrying, so it comes out, there's a Shvisas Behema situation going on. If you're leading the animal, this is Mechamer 101. I mean, it's not Mechamer, it's not a Chamar, but it's Mechamer with a Seh, with a Gdi. So it comes out, you're being Goyva Loises, afraid the Gemara, why is it okay? I don't understand. You're not allowed to just carry it. Why? Because it's Machshirei Pesach. And Machshirei Pesach is not Eich Shabbos. So why was it okay to take the knife and stick it into the sheep, stick it into the goat? At the end of the day, you're being Mechamer. And for the Gemara, Mechamer Kalacha Yad. Because at the end of the day, it's Mechamer Kalacha Yad. Because this is not the normal way to carry. Even for a sheep, this is a little bizarre. And as a result, to stick it in its wool, so being it's kalacha yad, so therefore it's not a problem. Freak the Gemara, mechama kalacha yad. Nami, nei di sur de reis like a sur de rabbana miyoyiko. We know kalacha yad's a big kula in Hilchas Shabbos. So if you do a malacha kalacha yad, so we always treat it more leniently, but it's not mutter. It's still aser, it's aser midrabbana, it's not aser midereisah. Yeah, it's for sure more kuldig, but it's still a problem. So at the end of the day, if machshir pesach is not toicha, so why is this okay? So the Gemara says, I hear and hainu de kabayimine. This was exactly the question. This is precisely what the Pesach Seder weren't sure about. They knew machshir pesach is not toicha Shabbos. They were never asking that. Their question wasn't Rabbi Eliezer de Mila. They knew machshir manat toicha. They wanted to know whether I can do a mechamer with a shinoi for the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. Would that be okay or would that not be okay? The Gemara just very nicely verbalizes the question. Is it okay to do something that's mutter midaraisa? But the issue you have over here is an issa derabanan, but it's kalach hayad. It's not just an issa derabanan. It's an issa derabanan because what you're doing is kalach hayad, which is a kula in the world of Issa d'Rabbanan, and it's b'makom mitzvah. Nah, what's the halacha? It's okay. It's mutter min ha-Torah. Why? Because even though lav d'mechamer is an Issa d'Raisa, but the animal was carrying it kalach hayad. It's b'makom mitzvah because you're doing it for the Karban Pesach, and it's not just an Issa d'Rabbanan. It's
a kalachayat type of Isidur Rabbanon, which in the pecking order of Isidur Rabbanon is down on the totem pole. And that's why they weren't sure the B'nai B'seir, is this okay, is it not okay? Amalehem, and Hill told them, I have to be honest with you. Halacha zu, shamati v'shachachti. I knew the halacha, I just don't remember. Elohi nichulam liyisrael. Let's see what the Yidden do tomorrow. Mei neviyamei, b'nei neviyamei. Whatever they do, we're going to assume was a ruach nevuah, and they must have gotten it right. And what they do the next day, they took it out this way. So what do you see from here? That even though it's an Issa de Rabbanon, but being that it's only an Issa de Rabbanon, and it's an Issa de Rabbanon of Kalachayat, and they were doing it for Makom Mitzvah, so B'kai Gavna, it's going to be okay. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda Amar Rav commented on this epic brisa and said the following. Kol HaMis Yair. You know what you see from here? That anyone that's about Gaiva, Im Chochamu, if he's a Chocham, Chochmase Mistalekes Mimenu. He's going to lose some of his Chochma. And Im Novi, if he's a Novi, he's going to lose some of his nevuah. You know, I know that if he's a chacham, he's going to lose his chachma mihillel. You learn it from Hillel, from this brisa, the Amamar, because the brisa said that after Hillel told the Bnei Beseira that the Korban Pesach is Doichas Shabbos, so he was Doirish and Hilchas Pesach Kol Hayom, and in the middle of his drasha, he threw in some Sharfa Musar, Hischo Mekantaram Bedvarim. He started talking to them tough. The Kamala, when he told them what happened right afterwards, they asked him a Shaila, and he said, I have to be honest, Halacha Zu Shamati V'Shachachti. So what do you see from here? That Hillel, who was such a Chacham, forgot his story. Well, you know why he forgot it? Because of Gaifa. Not just that, but said Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, that if someone is a Baal Gaifa, but he's even if he's a Navi, he's gonna lose his Nevuah. You know, I know that. He said from a Pasuk in Shoiftim. The Pasuk says, Chodlu ferozim bi Yisrael, Chodelu, ad shakamti devora, shakamti aim bi Yisrael. So this is Devora in her famous Shira, and she's talking about how she was able to, on some level, accomplish ad shakamti devora, till I, Devora, stood up, shakamti aim bi Yisrael. I was the mother of the Yidden, and I was able to do something that my predecessors weren't able to do. It's a little gaivadik. Uksiv, you know what the pasuk says right afterwards? Uri, uri, devaira, uri, uri, dabri, shir, kum baruch, ushave, shevyucha, ben avina. All of a sudden, devaira's trying to tap into nevuah, and she's struggling. She's having a hard time tapping into nevuah. What happened to the nevuah? Here, she was a navi. What was the problem? Oh, the teretz is because she just had a little bit of gaiva. And because she had a little bit of gaiva, that caused that her nevuah should be forgotten. Now, this idea that if someone is a chacham or a navi, and they have a little bit of gaiva, they forget their chachma, they forget the nevuah, so pashit, it's not something that is very puzzling or mysterious at all. In fact, it's something that would seem to be very, very intuitive. Why? Because we know that the Torah isn't just a chachma, it's not just a wisdom, it's the Dvar Hashem, it's the Shechina. When a person learns Torah, he's connecting to the Shechina. That's why learning Torah is so enjoyable. That's Reb Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh HaChaim, who says that the way a person connects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by learning Torah. Because when a person learns Torah, he's being mistabek b'Shechina. We know the Gemara says in the beginning of Masech Tesoita that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't like the Baal Gaiva very much. Me and him can't be in the same place. I once heard from an Adam Gadol, he said that maybe that's why when you go to the Kaisel, every, it doesn't matter who you are, it's a humbling experience, right? Automatically, you get overwhelmed by the awe of where you are. So he said, what's the pshat? He said, because when it comes to a Baal Gaiva, the Eibishter says, me and the Baal Gaiva, we can't be in the same room. Okay, so it's a machzik, a Baal Gaiva. Everyone has free will. It could be a Baal Gaiva. So what does Hashem do when it comes to a Baal Gaiva? He walks away from the Baal Gaiva. But by the Kaisel HaMaravi, Chazal say, Hashem swore that the Shechina is never going to be zaz from the Kaisel HaMaravi. So what has to happen when a Yid goes to the Kaisel HaMaravi? Shechina is not going anywhere. So you know what that means? The Gaiva has to go away. And that's why people, they get overwhelmed when it doesn't matter who you are. You go to the Kaisel, you put on a kapelich, and you stand there by a novel. Why? Because there the Shechina is always. And if there's Shechina, there's no Gaiva. Shechina is a steer at the Gaiva. So a person who's a Talmud Chacham, but if he has Gaiva, the Gaiva is a problem. If this gaiva, the Torah is not going to be able to stay there. Chachmasa mistalekes. Nevuah is, of course, the same thing. Nevuah is the Dvar Hashem. That's what Nevuah was. It's communicating. It's dveikus on Hashem on some level. It's Ruach HaKodesh. So if that's the case, it's Pasha why Chachma Nevuah. Now, obviously, in our Gemara, it's a little more difficult to understand because was Hillel really being about gaiva? Isn't that really what was going on? So again, that's already more of a Musar conversation. But the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Reish Lakish Omar, Reish Lakish said on the same thing. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rab, that if someone has gaiva, he's a chacham, chachmasim is talakas v'men. If he's a navi, he's going to lose his nevuah. Rish Lakish said, "Kol adam shekoyes." And this inyan le inyan ba'isa inyan. If a person has kas, gets angry. Im chachamu, if he's a chacham, chachmas and mistalakas v'menu, he's going to lose his chachma. Im navi, if he's a navi, nevuas and mistalakas v'menu, he's going to lose im chachamu, chachmas and mistalakas v'menu. How do you know that if he's a chacham, he's going to lose his chachma? Mi moisha. The pasuk says, "Va'yikzeif moisha al pekudei hachoyel." The context over there is that the Yidden fought a war against Midian. And the reason they fought a war against Midian is because they were taking revenge. Nekoim Nikmas. They were taking revenge against the Midianim for what they had done to the Yidden. What did the Midianim do to the Yidden? Bilam had devised a plan to try to get the Yidden to stumble. And what he did was he got the daughters of Midian to seduce the Yidden into Arayas. That was the story with Zimri, Ben Sali, and Cosby Basor. And there ended up being a lot of Gili Arayas. And as a result, a big Magefa, 24,000 Yidden died. But Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu that the last thing you're going to do is going to take revenge from the Midianim. And afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu, this is the end. This is the last thing. You have to take revenge from the Midianim. So Yidden go and they take revenge. And what they did was is they left all the Nekevites, all the women were left alive. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw that, he couldn't believe it. He got very upset at all the officers. He says, you left in a cave is alive? I understand, they were the problem. They were the one that got us into this trouble. Now all of a sudden you're taking them as captives? We're going backwards. The pasuk says right after, Elazar told the warriors, Habam la Muhammad, Zais Khugas Atara Shiva Shemes Moisha, and you have the parsha of Geule Midian, right? Geule Midian, all the halachas of Kashering Kalim are learned out from Midian, Geule Midian. This was the war. Now, who was the one that taught the halachas? It was Elazar that taught the halachas. Why did Moshe teach the halachas? Where do you find that Elazar Akoyan is the one that's teaching us halachas? Shouldn't it have been Moshe? Said Reish Lakish, you know why Moshe didn't teach the halachas? Michlal the Moshe Alamine, because Moshe forgot. He didn't remember the halachas of Geulei Midian. Why didn't he remember? Because Vayikzeif Moshe Apagudei Achayel. Because Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, and that's what Reish Lakish said. Just like if someone's about Gaiva, you forget your Chachma, Kol Adam Shekoyes, the person gets angry, it's the same thing. Im Chacham Hu, Chachmasei Mistalekes, Navi Hu, he continues, and if the person's a Navi, Nevoas Mistalekes, he's going to forget his Nevoah. And he knows that, Mi Elisha, the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, that Elisha got very angry at the king Yehoram. He told him, Lulei Pnei Yehoshafat Melech Yudah, and he knows, Im Abitei Lachavim Arecha, I don't want to see you. The Chsiv, and the Pasuk says, right after that Elisha tried saying Nevoah, and he couldn't get the Nevoah, so much so that he needed the person that used to play the harp for him to start playing music. But without the Menagin, he couldn't get the Nevoah. Why couldn't he get the Nevoah? Because he got angry. And if a person gets Bekas, that's also a reason for him to forget his Chachma. It's also a reason for him to get his Nevoah. Chaim Shmulevitz says that even though it's Pashit, with Hillel we can debate maybe, but Moshe Rabbeinu was 100% right for being upset at the Pekudei Achoyel. Vayikzeif Moshe al Pekudei Achoyel. No one ever said this was a chet. No one ever said Moshe did anything wrong. And Afal Pikin, he forgot his Chachma. So he said, you see from here that forgetting Chachma is not a punishment. It was a punishment. Moshe Rabbeinu would have gotten punished for being angry. He was right for being angry. Shulchan Aruch said, get angry. But it's a mitzvah, said Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that if a person gets bekas, Torah can't sit with a person that's bekas. Amar Amani Bar Patish. Kol Shekoyes. Any person gets angry, afilu poiskin ol v'dumen hashmayim yirid enoysa. Even if this person was already destined in Shemayim, it was already nechta v'nechtam, that this person is going to get great gedula. My read the noisa, he's going to lose it. Minolon, who do we know this from? May Eliyav. Eliyav was one of Yishai's sons, meaning he was one of David HaMelech's brothers. Shenemar, the Pasuk said, Vayichar af Eliyav b'David. Eliyav got very angry at David. Vayomer, and he said, Lomo ze yoradeto v'almi natashto mata tzoyno heine b'amidbar. Ani yodati es doincha v'esreel v'avecho kilaman herois ha-milchomo yoradeto v'chi ozal You're at it. So he got angry at him. Okay, so where do you see that he lost Gedula? Because when Shmuel went to Yishai's house, he was going to pick one of Yishai's sons to be the great king, from whom all the Malachim were going to come, and from whom Mashiach eventually would come. So Bekuluk said, by all the brothers, it says, Loi bazeh bachar Hashem. Shmuel said, he's not the one, Ubaliyav Ksiv. But when it came to Eliyav, the language that Shmuel used was interesting. The Pasuk says, Vayarash Shmuel es Eliyav. He saw Eliyav, Vayomer, he said, Ach, Neged Hashem Meshicha. He thought that maybe Eliyav is the one. Vayomer, Shmuel turned. Hashem turns to Shmuel and he says, Al Tabet, Al Mareyu, Val Gvoya Koimasai, Kim Me'astiyu.
he's not the one. So what do you see from here? It sounds like by him there was a havamina, maybe he was going to. The other brothers never stood a chance. But it sounds like Eliyahu, maybe there was a havamina, could have been the king. Says the Gemara, you know what you see from here? The havarochim le'yado idno. That really he was in contention, and really they had decreed that he was going to be the melech. And you know what happened? You know why he lost it? Because of kas. It's amazing what a person can lose through kas. Because said Ramani Bar Patish, Kol shekoyes afilu poiskin olav gedula min hashamayim moiridin oisa. So this daf, psachim daf samach vav, needs an asterisk next to it. It's an absolute classic daf. There's so much here. There's so many related raid bites, Baruch Hashem, that we've talked about this Gemara with the Bnei B'Seira over the years. But I was thinking maybe to take a little bit of an interesting approach as it relates to the raid of today's daf. And that is that the first question that needs to be asked is, how is it possible that the Bnei B'Seira had no idea whether Pesach is Doicha Shabbos? So the truth is that over the years, we've discussed two kashas that the Gedoyle Achreinim ask in different places. And that is, there were two Karbonos Pesach that were brought in Jewish history that were clearly brought on Shabbos. The first is the first Karban Pesach that the Yidden brought after they left Mitzrayim. So the first Karban Pesach ever was the Karban Pesach that the Yidden brought in Mitzrayim. The one that they brought literally the day that they left Mitzrayim. That Karban Pesach was different. Pesach Mitzrayim, it's not Pesach Toiris. We spoke about it a little bit in the introduction to Talmud Nishchat, and we're going to get to it again, Be'ezus Hashem, between now and Arvi Pesachim. But the second Karban Pesach that they brought was in the Midbar. In fact, it was the only Karban Pesach that the Yidden brought in the Midbar, which is interesting. The Pasuk says in Parshas Baloischa that the Yidden brought a Karban Pesach in the Midbar, and Rashi calls it Safri, Lahagid Genusan Shal Yisrael, that there was only one Karban Pesach that the Yidden brought in the Midbar. So the Yidden brought a Karban Pesach in Mitzrayim, then they go to the Midbar, and they brought that first year of Karban Pesach, and after that, they weren't going to bring another Karban Pesach until they entered Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, that Chodesh Nisan of the second year from when the Yidden left Mitzrayim was a very special day. Number one, it was the Yom HaKamas HaMishkan. That was the day that the Yidden built the Mishkan. But the Gemara brings a Braisa Tana, Oysa Yom Natal Eser HaTaris. That day had 10 crowns. I mean, it was a very, very special day. And there were 10 firsts associated with that day. The first one was, it was Rishon L'Mayis HaBereshis. It was the first day of the week. It was a Sunday. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan, if you want to know what day of the week it was a Sunday. Now, why would Chazal tell us it was a Sunday? There must be some significance, right? But it was Rishon L'Mayis HaBereshis that you should know. You want to know Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Yom HaKamas HaMishkan, what day of the week it was? It was on the first day of the week, meaning it was on a Sunday. So ask the Achroinim, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan that year was a Sunday, that means Tesvav Nisan was also a Sunday, 14 days later. If that's the case, Yud Dalet Nisan, one day earlier, was a Shabbos. Yud Dalet Nisan is the day you bring the Karban Pesach. And the Pasuk says very, very clearly, it was very much the topic of today's daf. The Pasuk has, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael asa Pesach b'mayadoi. That the Yidden brought the Karban Pesach b'mayadoi. B'mayadoi means they brought it on Yud Dalet Nisan. So you see, they brought the Karban Pesach on Yud Dalet Nisan, and Yud Dalet Nisan was a Shabbos. So what was the B'nei B'Seira Shaila? It's a Pasuk in the Torah. It's a mefurish pasuk. V'yasu b'nei Yisrael zapesach b'mayadoi. And when was mayadoi? Yud Dalet Nisan. And Yud Dalet Nisan that year was a Shabbos. How do we know? Because the Gemara says in Shabbos Pei Zayin Amud Beis that Oisei Hayom, referring to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, had 10 Ataris. One of them was, it was Rishon L'Mayis HaBereishis. So if Aleph Nisan was Rishon L'Mayis HaBereishis, that means Tezvav Nisan was also Rishon L'Mayis HaBereishis, just to do the back of the envelope arithmetic, which means that Yud Dalet Nisan was on Shabbos. So you see, they brought it by Mayade, they brought it on Shabbos. That's the first kasha. The second kasha that the Achroinim ask is based on a Seder Olam that says that when the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael, which was also in the beginning of Chodesh Nisan, so they entered Eretz Yisrael and they brought a Karban Pesach that first year. So the Yidden brought a Karban Pesach in the Midbar, then the next Karban Pesach that they would bring would be literally 39 years later. It would be that first year that they entered Eretz Yisrael. They were in Gilgal at the time, and it was known as Pesach Gilgal. That was physically the region, the part of Eretz Yisrael that they were. Now that year, Pesach also fell out on a Shabbos. You know, we know, because the Seder Olam says that the walls of Yericho fell on Chof Ches Nisan. Now we're going to fall on Chof Ches Nisan, but Chof Ches Nisan was a Shabbos.
If Chach Ches Nisan was a Shabbos, that means 14 days earlier, Yudal Nisan was also a Shabbos. And the Pasuk says clearly they brought the Karban Pesach. So Makshem Ma'olam, what was the B'nai B'seira Shaila? I don't understand. They weren't sure if Pesach Steich Shabbos. The two Karbanos Pesach that were brought, Mamish from when the Yidin left Mitzrayim, were both brought on a Shabbos. The one Pesach that they brought in the Midbar was brought on a Shabbos. V'yasu B'nai Yisrael, sa Pesach bin Mayadai, which means it was Yudal Nisan. And we know Rosh Chodesh was on a Sunday, which means that Yudal had been on a Shabbos. And then the next one they were going to bring, the first one they brought in Eretz Yisrael, Pesach Gilgal, was also brought on a Shabbos. Because Chav Ches Nisan, the day that the walls of Yericho fell were a Shabbos, and if that's the case, it means Yudal Nisan was also a Shabbos. So what exactly was the suffix of the B'nai B'Seir? So on this Kasha, there's so many Terutzim, some of which we've spoken about in the past. That's not something we're going to talk about right now. But the truth is another thing that's very, very puzzling. And that is, forget about the first, second, third Karbanos Pesach that were brought in Jewish history. The reality is, very, very often, Shabbos coincides with Yudal and Nisan. It's just a fact. It happens very, very often. And if that's the case, so what was the Shaila? They should have had Messiah. What happened to the basic Messiah that they had? So you know, The Yerushalmi asked, and I understand, it's inevitable that from time to time, Yudal Nisan is going to fall out on a Shabbos. So if Yudal Nisan is going to fall out on a Shabbos, so based on that, this is something that they should know. And for the Yerushalmi, that it's true. Really, they should have known. And the reason they didn't know was mamish, it was Maisa Satan, or Fakir. This was Maisa Lakin. Hashem didn't want them to know. And the reason he didn't want them to know was Liten Gedula Lehillel. Because it was time for Hillel to become Nasi. And the events had to be orchestrated from on top, from Shemayim, so like this Hillel would become the Nasi. So it was simply so Hillel should get what he needed to get that the B'nai B'Seira forgot. Reb Ruvim Margolis wrote a sefer called Yesoid HaMishnah V'Arichasa. And in the sefer Yesoid HaMishnah V'Arichasa, he asked the obvious question. He says, I understand the cheshbon of the Yerushalmi, that Hashem purposely made the B'nai B'Seira forget something that they should have really known, something they had no business forgetting. Why? But at the end of the day, it's still very hard to understand, because this is like a miracle Shalvei Kederech HaTeva Mamish. How did they not know? 7 years ago, this is the way it was. 11 years ago, 22 years ago, someone had a father, a grandfather, a Zayda. Somebody would have known if Yudal Nisan fell out on Shabbos, this would have to be some mess. It's impossible for something like this to play out on Piderech HaTeva. So Liten Kedula Lehillel, all of a sudden, nobody remembers what happened probably several times during their lifetimes. It's a very, very hard thing to understand. So he says something very novel. He says it could be the pshats like this. Once upon a time, Rosh Chodesh was determined not based on a calendar, but rather it was determined by Beis Din. Beis Din would accept Eidus. Eidus. Eidus would step forward and they would tell Beis Din that they saw the new moon, and based on that, they would determine when exactly it was going to be Rosh Chodesh. But we know that Beis Din had certain manipulative capabilities. They were able to, if it was necessary, to use sometime the power that they had and exercise that to make sure that a certain season wouldn't fall out at a certain time. And sometimes it was done. Ibrach Chodesh is the great example of that. That very often, Beis Din would be Ma'abar Chodesh. Why would they be Ma'abar? They would add an extra Adar because they didn't want certain things to coincide with certain things, or to the contrary. If it was something that was negated, the benefit of Klai, so that's something they would do. So said Reuven Margolis that he thinks that the B'nai B'Seira had never seen a Yudal Nisan that fell out on Shabbos. And there was nobody that was alive at that time that saw Yudal Nisan fall out on Shabbos. You're going to tell me it's not possible. It's inevitable that Yudal Nisan, just based on understanding the astronomy, at some point it's going to play out that way. The science dictates that it has to happen that way. So how is it possible that that was never the case? So I said, Reb Ruvim Margolis, it's because the B'nai B'Seira understood that they had a Messiah that you're always supposed to be Ma'abed Hashanah. If there's ever going to be a situation where Yudal Nisan has to fall out on Shabbos, we don't want it to fall out on Shabbos. And as a result, this was something that it was always pushed off. And the Messiah was to push it off. And therefore, it never happened. It never happened because they were always being ma'aber in a way to make sure that it was never going to happen. But you know what happened this year? This year it happened. And you know what happened? Because Nisalma, they didn't take care of what they were supposed to take care of. And because they didn't take care of it, all of a sudden they got stuck. This had never happened. And there was no one alive that had a Messiah on this. They didn't write Torah Shema, they didn't know. And all of a sudden now, they have this situation. Like, what are we supposed to do? And all of a sudden, it's gestalt asofik. This, that we were always ma'aber to make sure that your dal nisa never falls on our Shabbos, is it because the Korban Pesach is not Doich HaShabbos? Well, they said, no, maybe the Korban Pesach is really Doich HaShabbos. But maybe the reason they did it was is because at the end of the day, the Machshirim are not Doich HaShabbos, and there's other elements of it, and maybe the Chacham didn't ever want that your dal nisa should fall out on Shabbos. Too dangerous. We're going to start being Machal Shabbos all over the place. It's very, very dangerous. So they pushed it away. But the point is that they, Poshet, didn't know what the reason was that your Dal and Nisan was always manipulated in a way that it should never fall out on Shabbos. But you know what the Nis'alma Mimena was? They didn't forget. It's not the Pshat all of a sudden everyone had amnesia and they just don't know. They can't remember what happened 10 years ago. Of course, that doesn't make any sense. That's not what happened, said Reuven Margolis. He says, you know what happened? The Nis'alma was is that they forgot to take care of business and to be ma'aber. And of them Zokti Yerushalmi, you want to know why they made that error? It was unbefitting for the B'nai B'Seira. They wouldn't have done it. It never happened. Why all of a sudden this generation? This was already coordinated. This was orchestrated from above. Because it was time for Hillel to be Nasi. And this is the way Hillel was going to become Nasi. Hillel had a Mesira. He knew the reason that your Dal and Nisan was never on Shabbos. Not because Pesach's not Doicha Shabbos. Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. And now that we made a mistake and we have no choice, so but the less Breira, this is something that we have no choice to do. But either way, that's the rest of the story. This is what Rabbi Reuven Margolis says in his thesis, in his Sefer Yesoid HaMishnah V'Arichasa, V'ru'uyin HaDvarim L'Misha Amra. But I found in the Chdushek Sam Soifa Al-Hashas, right here, in the beginning of the sixth parak in Masechtas Pesachim, he says word for word what Rabbi Reuven Margolis says. He brings the Yerushalmi and the Teretz, and he asks Rabbi Reuven Margolis' question, and he says Rabbi Reuven Margolis' Teretz. So it's a Mefurish Chasam Sofer. He says the same exact thing. That the mistake was not, it's not Pshat, all of a sudden nobody was able to remember what had previously happened. K'deilite in Gedula Lehillel. That would be a miracle. Shalai k'derech chateva ben benoy shalai k'derech chateva. And that's not the way things work in this world. But rather, what it was is that they always knew to be Ma'aber, and this time they forgot to be Ma'aber. And that was the Yerushalmi's question. Why did they forget to be Ma'aber? That was Leite in Gedula Lehillel. And now they had a suffix. They weren't sure why it was always orchestrated so that your Dal Nisan shouldn't fall out on Shabbos, and that's what Hillel told them, that it's not because Pesach is not Doicha Shabbos. Pesach Chavad is Doicha Shabbos. The reason it was always done this way is because of Gzeira, but now that we have no choice, now that Yudal Nisan's falling out on Shabbos, we're going to have to do what we're going to have to do. I with the Machshirim, stick it into the wool, or into between the horns of the goat, etc., etc. But that's the first aura. The second aura is that in truth, if you know the rest of the story, this Gemara is really a turning point in Jewish history. So certain Gemaras, you read the Gemara, and especially Daf Yomi, you can go through it really, really quickly. It can be interesting sometimes, but it's impossible to appreciate the depth of what exactly is taking place right here. But there's certain Gemaras that are miut hakamos, but they're roif ha'echos. Quantitatively, it's a few lines in Shas, sometimes an Amen and a Daf, but qualitatively, it was a game changer in the sense that things would no longer be the way they were. The first Gemara that comes to mind is Brachas Daf Chavches, the story with Rabbi Gamliel de Yavna and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Mishnayos of Idias, Oisei HaTalmud, Rabbi Shimon Ma'ichoy. Another Gemara that we've spoken about is Shabbos Daf Kufches, where the Gemara talks about Rav and Shmuel during their initial encounter and how Rav Shui Ragoyin says that because that initial visit didn't go well, Rav and Shmuel ended up parting ways, and Rav would travel throughout Bavel and he would spread the word, Rav Ikla Tatlafish, and all the different cities that you find that Rav went and he started spreading Torah, which changed the landscape of Torah in Bavel. Michi Aser Rav LeBavel. All of a sudden, Bavel became mamish like Eretz Yisrael. It would be a game changer. This daf that we just learned, Psachim Daf Samech Vav, in addition to all the lumdis and the musr about kas and about gaiva and the pilpul that you have in this daf, but just from an understanding a little bit, the rest of the story, some Jewish history, it's a very, very important daf. So just to back up for a second. The Nasi was always a very important role in Yiddishkeit. The Nasi was the Torah leader of the Jewish people. So he was often recognized as maybe the biggest Talmud Chacham, the second biggest, the third biggest, but he was definitely one of the Gedolei Hadar as far as learning goes. And he had a rabbinic position. His position was that he was the Nasi. Nasi has special dinim in terms of the kavod that you have to give him. But the Nasi
is a position and was a very, very important position that was held by a very, very esteemed rabbi. And if you go through the Mishnayos in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, so the Mishnayos list a bunch of leaders that were the Moisrei HaTorah, right? Moisrei Kibbul Torah, Mesinai, Mesari, Yeshua, Yeshua Leskenim, Deskenim Lenevim, Nevim Mesarua, Ma'anshek Neses Agdoilo. Then the Mishnah mentioned Shimon HaTzadik, he was the last of the Anshek Neses Agdoilo. He had a Talmud whose name was Antignus Ish Soichai. Antignus Ish Soichai had a Talmud whose name was Yoisi Ben Yoyezer. Right? Who are these people? Antignus was the Nasi of Klai Yisrael. Yoisi Ben Yoyezer Ish Treda, the Mishnah says, V'Yoisi Ben Yoichanan Ish Yerushalayim. So one was the Nasi, the other one was the Av Bezin, which was also a very similar position, a position of rabbinic nature and someone that was a leader as far as learning goes. Yoisi Ben Yoichanan Ish Yerushalayim, Yeshua Ben Prachya Nita Erbeli. One was the Nasi, the other one was the Av Bezin. Yehuda Ben Tamai and Shimon Ben Shetach, Shmaya and Naftali. These were all Nisim and Av Bezdins, respectively, and they had important positions from a pure rabbinical perspective. Now, the Nasi's job was a rabbinic job, and as a result, it didn't go over Yerusha. So, if the Nasi passed away, his son didn't necessarily become the Nasi, but rather they found someone that was worthy to be the Nasi. Because at the end of the day, you could have Yichas, but you have to answer Shailas. You have to be able to lead from a Torah perspective. And unless you had the credentials to be able to do it, the fact that you're a Ben Shel Kedoshim wasn't necessarily going to help you. And it's for that reason you find that the Nasiim weren't associated with any family, but rather the Nasiim really depended on each individual's credentials. Until Hillel came along. When Hillel came, everything changed. In fact, Hillel was the Nasi, and after him, for hundreds of years, the Nasiim were always from the family of Hillel. Hillel had a son, his name was Shimon. Shimon ben Hillel is mentioned, I think, one place in Shas, in the Sugi of the Yud Ches Dvarim, in the first parak of Masach de Shabbos. But Shimon Hillel had a son that we're more familiar with, Rabbi Gamliel. Also known as Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin, Rabbi Gamliel the Elder. Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin had a son whose name was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel HaZakin's son, was the Nasi at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni. He was one of the Asara Arugei Malchus. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel had a son, Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel de Yavna. He was the Nasi after the Churban. He was the Nasi in Mesechtin Sprachas Tav Chav Ches. Rabbi Gamliel de Yavna had a son, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. He's the Tan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that's quoted throughout Shas. He was whose father? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda, from when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi passed away in the mid-3rd century, the Nasi would remain in the family of Hillel for another 200 years. You're talking almost 500 years where the Yidden had Nasiim, and the Nasi was always from the family of Hillel. So when Hillel became Nasi, when there was the changing of the guard from the Bnei B'Seret to Hillel, it wasn't like, okay, instead of the Bnei B'Seret being the Nasi, now Hillel's going to be the Nasi. It was way more important than that. It was way more significant from that. The Nasius now went from just being from random person to random person, obviously people that were Roy Lekach, to now suddenly being in the family of Hillel. Now, what was so special about Hillel's family? You know what's so special about Hillel's family? Hillel was a descendant of David HaMelech. He came from Shevet Yehuda. And the Pasuk says, Le'yasa Shevet Yehuda Mechaykek Ben Raglav. And it was considered a very chashev thing for the leaders in Klal Yisrael to be from Shevet Yehuda, to be from the family of David HaMelech. Hillel, from his maternal side, not his paternal side, but from his mother's side, was a descendant of David HaMelech, which meant for the last 400-500 years that there were Nasiim in Klal Yisrael, the Nasiim were from the family of David HaMelech. So here's the question. What changed? What happened? If the Nasiim were never from the family of David HaMelech, if it never went over Yerusha, so why suddenly now did it go over Yerusha? There's a tshuva from the Chassam Sofer. It's an Erech Chaim. It's in Siman Yud Beis. He was discussing a fascinating shaila, not for today, with regards to rabbinic positions. Do they go over Yerusha or do they not go over Yerusha? So Tariq Tvarev, in that sugya, he mentions the fact that the Nasius went over Yerusha because you see that once Hillel became the Nasi, it remained in his family. And he brings one maramachim. He says, take a look in the Asorim Amoris from the Ramami Pano. This is in Maimer Chikar Adin. It's in Chelik Beis, it's Perik Yotes. And he says over there, Dvorim Niflam Adlamoy. Says the Ramami Pano. He says, I'm going to tell you what changed when Hillel's times. At the time that Hillel came to Eretz Yisrael, the time of our Gemara, Psachim Daf Samach Mavam and Aleph, there was a king in Klal Yisrael. It was from the family, and that king was from the family of Herod. Hordas was an Eved to the Chashmonah,
And at some point, he led a coup, and he became the Melech. And after he died, his family retained the Malchus up until Churban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara says in the first parak in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, the last 103 years of Tkufas Bayis Sheni, Hurdis' family were the kings of Klal Yisrael. Right? Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years. So the first half of that period, there were no kings. The Yidden were under the rule of the Greeks and the Persians, and they didn't really have the ability to have their own king. And then after the story of Hanukkah, the Chashmenaim took over, and they made themselves into kings. The Rabban says they were punished for it, because the Chashmenaim were Kehanim, which means that they were from Sheva Levi, and they violated what Yaakov Avinu said in Parshas Vayechid, Yosef Sheva Yehuda, U'mechaykin Bein Raglav, that the kings are always supposed to be Sheva Yehuda. And the Rabban says that's why the Gemara says that the whole family of the Chashmenaim was completely wiped out. He said, what did they deserve to be wiped out? It's because they violated this principle of Yosef Sheva Yehuda. But the point is that the Chashmenaim became kings, and they ruled for 103 years. That's what the Gemara says. Hurdis took over, he rebelled against the Chashmenaim, he wiped them all out, and then for the last 103 years of Bayis Sheni, his family room. And this disturbed the Chachamim tremendously. The fact that there's a Jewish king, who, in their opinion, wasn't even Jewish. He had some geiris, but it was a controversial geiris. Evet ki yimloich, the Gemara in the beginning of Masechtas Bava Basra, so many Gemaras that talk about this. But the point is that Hurdis, Herod the Great, that's the way he was known in Roman culture, but in our world, he was a monster, very, very bad person. He was the Melech, and he was very, very bad to the Yidden. He didn't like the Talmidei Chachamim, and the Chachamim were very, very disturbed by it, and they felt they had to do something. So you know what they said? We're going to restore the Malchus. We're going to restore the Malchus. But they couldn't really appoint kings. Number one, politically, it was impossible to do that. And just logistically, there was no way that was going to happen. So the Chachamim said to Rama Mipano, had a nightfall. He said, you know what we're going to do? We have a shteller, it's called Nasi. It's called a Nasi. It's a very important position. From now on, let's find a Nasi that's going to be from Shevet Yehuda. Not only do we want to have a Nasi that's going to be from Shevet Yehuda, this Nasi is going to go over to Yerusha. You know why? Not because Nesias goes over Be'erusha. It doesn't go over Be'erusha. But Malchus goes over Be'erusha. Because David HaMelech was king, and then Shlomo became king, and then Rechavam became king. That's the way Malchus goes. Malchus goes over Be'erusha. Nasi not. Malchus, yeah. But the point is that being that we don't have Malchus, and Malchus is critical, it's something that's important. So it's for that reason, said the Rama Mipano, that's why they decided that the counter what was going on and what they didn't like, and that is that Herod's family was ruling over the Yidden as kings. They said, we need to have our own king. But we can't. What are we going to do? A palace with a king? It's not going to happen. So they say, you know what we're going to do? The Nasi will be the Melech. And this Nesias is something that's going to go over to Yerusha. The Ramami panel says, that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he had an audience with the Roman emperor, the Gemara and the Sugya Kamsa Bar Kamsa, he said, three things. Three wishes I'll grant to you. Right, so what did he say? He didn't ask him for the Beis HaMikdash. He said, Tein li Yavne v'chachamel. He said, Heal Rab Tzadik. And he said, I want the family of Rabbi Gamliel to be saved. Why do you need the family of Rabbi Gamliel? So there should be Nesiyim. You need a Nasi Dafka for Rabbi Gamliel's Mishpacha. So said the Ramami Pano, yeah. Because the Nesiyos of Rabbi Gamliel didn't just represent Nesiyos. It represented Malchus, that we're still ruling. We have our own little thing going on. They don't know, the Velt doesn't know. But we know, this is our own little secret. And we know the fact that we have our own Malachim. And the Malchus was from Shevi Yehuda. And there was already a Messiah on this Malchus. It traced itself back to Hillel HaZaken. And this was something that the Chachamim felt was very important. And therefore, there was something that they wanted to retain. Says Ramami Pano, I'll prove to you that I'm right. He says, because it's two Gemaras, he mentions one. But we'll mention two Gemaras, he says, that are impossible to understand unless you accept what I just said. One is the Gemara Masechtas Hoirius, Daf Yud Aleph on the base. The Gemara over there is discussing if somebody doesn't have Aveira, B'shoigig, that had he done B'mezid, he would have been Chayef Misa, so the halach bin chayiv karis. So the halach is that he has to bring a carbon chatas. What if the nasi does that? What if a nasi doesn't have everything? So he also brings a carbon chatas. However, the pasuk says his chatas is a little bit different. A chatas usually supposed to be in a keva. The chatas of the nasi is supposed to be a zachar. The nasi's carbon chatas is a different chatas. Says the Gemara. Boyu minei Rebbe. It's three lines from the top of Masechtas Hoiris Daf Yud Aleph on the base. So Rebbe asked Rebbe Chiya, "Could go in Nani, somebody like me, Mao Besoyer." It's Rebbe Yehuda Nasi talking. Somebody like myself, if I would do an Aver B'Shoyer. Now Rebbe Yehuda Nasi lived after the Churban. He lived at a time that there was no Karmen Chatas, anyways. But he said, "Somebody like myself, had I lived at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and I would have done an Aver B'Shoyer gig, and I had to bring a Chatas Shmeina. So what kind of
Chatas, what I have brought. What I have brought, the Zachar din a Keva. What I have brought, the animal that a regular person brings, or the one that the Nasi is supposed to bring. Amalei, so he told him, you would have to bring the regular one. Why? Because even though you're the Nasi, but there was another Nasi in Bavel, and being that you're not the only one, so you're not included in this halach. This Gemara is Sisrei Torah. You know why? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was a Nasi. That's true. And it says in the Torah, Vashe Nasi Yechta, that he has to bring a special carbon. You know what Nasi means in the Torah? It doesn't mean a Nasi like the president. It doesn't mean the CEO. When it says Nasi in the Torah, it means a Melech. Someone that's a Melech. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wasn't a Melech. So if he wasn't a Melech, what was the Havamina, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi? He asked Rabbi Chia, his Talmud, he said, tell me, would I have brought a Sire, or would I have brought the Seira? Which carbon would I have been obligated? Of course he would have brought the Seira. He's not the Nasi. What do you mean? He's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's his name. Yeah, that's just a title. But that's not the Nasi of the Torah. The Nasi of the Torah is a Melech. It's a very hard Gemara to understand. Says the Ramami Pano, you know what the Pshat is? It's because the Melech in the times of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the Nasi. It was one person. The Nasius represented two Ksarim. It was the Kesa Torah and it was the Kesa Malchus. I mean that it was the Kesa Malchus as well. And this was all included in the Cheshvin of it going over the Yerusha, going over from generation to generation. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had a Havamin. That maybe what I'm supposed to do is maybe I'm such a Melech. That was his Shiloh. How vite of a Melech am I? Am I a Melech mamish on the level that if I would have done an Aver B'shoigig and I would bring the Chattas of a Nasi? Or no, it's just symbolic that I'm representing Kesa Malchus as well. But really, I'm not a Melech. Another Gemara that he brings is, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Dafnir Aleph Amid Aleph, Sorfin Ala Melochin. You're allowed to burn all the possessions of a king after he dies. Ve'en by Mishum Darkei Amari. It's a Chiddush. Because this was a custom. It was a pagan custom. So as a result, you would have thought that it's not a good thing. Kamash mulan, you're allowed. Shenemar, and it's learned out from a pasuk, says the Brayso. So k'shem shesorfen ala melachim, kach sorfen ala nesiim. You're allowed to do it not just for the melachim, you're allowed to do it for the nesiim as well. Umahim sorfen ala melachim. What did they burn? Mitos on their beds, uklit hashmishon, and all their different things that they use. Says the Brayso. From Isa, there was a story, Shemesh Rabbi Gamliel Azakin. The Rabbi Gamliel Azakin died. The soraf all of Unkelis Hager Shivim Monotzuri. And Unkelis Hager, of Unkelis fame, he went and he burnt all these things. Said the Ramami Pano, it's a Pella. This halach of Sarfin ala Malachin is learned out from a pasuk. A pasuk in Yirmiyo. The Shalom Tomus ube misrefais avisecha hamalachim arishayinim ashayuf alach ken yisrefuk Allah. It's learned out from a pasuk that you're allowed to burn the thing of the kings. What does that have to do with a Nasi? Ma'isab Rabbi Gamliel Azakin. What does it have to do with the Nasi? Said Ramami Pano Behene Nadvarim. Because the Nasi had a din of a Melech. And being that he had a din of a Melech, so any halacha that's true for a Melech would be true for the Nasi as well. And said Ramami Pano, where do you find this idea starting to emerge? Where do you find that a Nasi cleared a Shiloh? Kagoinani, what I have had, I brought this up. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the one that cleared the Shiloh in Hoyris Daf Yud Aleph. And Unkel Sager, when he burnt the Kalim of the Nasi, who was the Nasi? It was Rabbi Gamliel Azakin and Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. It's not a coincidence, because it was only from Hillel and on, said the Ramami Pano, that this was true. Pre-Hillel, the Bnei B'Seirah didn't have a din of a Melech. It was from Hillel moving forward. And that's why you find Rabbi Gamliel Azakin and Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. And he says, that's why you find in Masechtas Hayrius that it was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi in Daf Yud Aleph over there. And he says, one other interesting thing does the Ramami Pano. He says, could be, that's why you find that from Rabbi Gamliel forward, there were certain Tanoim that had the name Rabbon. So we know that all the Tanoim in Shas are presented in three ways. There are most Tanoim I mentioned as Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Tarfin, Rabbi Blas ben Azariah, etc., etc. Then you have Tanoim that I mentioned Rabbon, Rabbon Gamliel Hazakin, Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel. And it says, then you have Tanoim that weren't mentioned with any name at all. Hillel, Shammai, Shmaya, Avtalion, the Nevi'im. So we've mentioned many times that the Rambam says in his Akdamah to Pirush HaMishnayos, what's the reason? See, he says that the Tanoim that were on the lowest Madrega, they were called Rabbi. Rabbi, Rebbe. The ones that were on a higher Madrega, they were called Rabban. He said the ones that were on the highest Madrega had no title at all. He says, why not? He said, because they were so great that any title that you would have given them would have diminished. It would have taken away from their greatness. It's impossible to capture who they are. So any title that you're going to give them is going to take away. And the Rambam says, Kamayanavir. He says, just like the Nevi'im that you find that it was Yirmiyo and Yeshaya and Nachum and Amos, right? You would think it's Reb Yeshaya to us and Reb Yirmiyo to us. Yirmiyo, right? We're talking about Yirmiyo. We're on first name basis. Says the Rambam, no, it was always that way, because the ones that were on the highest Madrega, they had no title, because any title that you would have given them would have taken away. I once thought that the Gemara says in Masechet Sukkah, we mentioned this in the past, that Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim, Shmeinu Talmidim, it's all coming together, had 80 Talmidim. The 30 of the greatest ones were Ruyim, Shetishra, Leim, Shechina, the Shleishim, the Gadol Shevekulon was Yonas and Menazil, Kain Shevekulon was Rabban Yoichanan and Zakkai. It's gewaldig. The Gadol Shevekulon, Yonas and Menazil had no title. The Katan Shevekulon, that was Rabban Yoichanan ben Zakkai. He had a title already. It's beautiful, like the Rambam. Because if you're great, you have no title. So Yonas ben Azil was the greatest, he didn't have a title. Rabban Yoichanan ben Zakkai was on a lesser Madrega, he did have a title. But this is a Metzia Nifla, I believe. Says the Rambam Ipano, he says, till the times of the family of Hillel, being the Nasean, no Tanam had titles. They didn't have titles. You know when they started getting titles? It was Dafka Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Suddenly you start finding titles. He says, you know why? Because they had to make sure. They had to make sure that Yidden got the message that these are not just Tanam anymore. They're not just Nasiim. They're kings. And a Melech is so tossim alach a Melech. But I've read them with COVID. And to a Melech it's different. You want to talk a certain way to Shammai, that's fine. That's the way it was. That was always the Messiah. Maybe like the Rambam says, they were so great, they had no titles. But why did it suddenly shift? Why was it suddenly Rabban? Because it was so important that they didn't get the message. And we have to knock it into the subconscious that these are kings. Mitamos, there's a title. This is a quiet title. Again, it's our own little secret. That they're going to act as kings. And you know how we're going to know that? They're going to be known as Rabban. And that's why you don't find any Rabbans. So I was thinking, the Gemara is also beautiful. Gadol Shebekulon was Yonas and Menazil. Who's Katan Shebekulon? Rabban Yoichanan ben Zakkai. Because Rabbi Yoichanan ben Zakkai was the Nasi. He was an interim Nasi. He didn't come from the family of Hillel. But during the Churban, after Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was killed, until Rabbi Gamliel the Yavne, so they needed an interim leader. And that interim leader was Rabban Yoichanan ben Zakkai. So it's Mod Batim, he was the Nasi. So if he was the Nasi, maybe that's why he was called Rabban. But either way, just to be Messiah. The Gemara says in Masechtis, Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph Amir Aleph. So we mentioned Hayriyas Daf Yud Aleph. That's Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Kegoyin Ani, which Chatos, what I have brought. We mentioned Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Aleph. That's the story with Unkelus Hager, where he went and he burnt many of the Kalim of Rabbi Gamliel Aznokin after he passed away. This is Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph. The Gemara over there says, Tanu Rabbanim, Shemesu Nevi'im Achroinim. When the Nevi'im Achroinim passed away, Chagis Charim Malachi, they were the last three kings, Nistalku Ruach HaKodesh Mishra. There was no more Ruach HaKodesh in Klal Yisrael. Afa Pikenayim Mishnam Shem Bebaskal. But they still used the Baskal. Pam Achas, once upon a time, they were sitting in an attic in Yericho, coming full circle. The Nasna Leim Baskal in Hashemayim. And a Baskal emanated from the heavens and said the following: Yesh kan echad, there's one person, Sheroi Shetisha Olav Shechina Kamoi Shabbeinu. He's so gewald that he's worthy of Ashrois Ashchina on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Elosh Ein Dairez Akoy Lekach. But the generations aren't worthy of it. And because the generations aren't worthy of it, so he's not going to get it. Nasu Chom is the name. All of a sudden, everybody started awkwardly looking at Hillel HaZaken. Because they understood that this is Hillel. He's the one that's Roi Shetisha Olav Shechina Kamoi Shabbeinu. Kshemes. When Hillel HaZaken passed away, Amrav, they said on him, Hai Chosid, Hai Onof, Talmidei Shal Ezra. Hai Chosid, Hai Onof, he was from the Talmidim of Ezra. So I was thinking, just to put a ribbon on this raid bite, temporarily, just to put a little plug in it so we can go weiter, at least for the day. And that is that the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that Ru'uya Hoyse, Roy Hoya Ezra Shetinas and Torah Yodeh. Rabbi Yossi said this, that Ezra was so great that the Torah was really right to be given by him. We're not for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu chapped, says the Gemara. Even though the Torah wasn't given through Ezra, but the Torah was nishtana through Ezra. Ezra was so great, he was mamish like Moshe. He could have given the Torah, just like Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah. Says the Gemara, even though he didn't give it, it was nishtana. What was nishtana? Up until Ezra, the Torah was biksav ivri, and Ezra changed the tzura of the oises, he changed the physical alphabet, and it went from being ksav ivri to suddenly being ksav ashuras. Hillel was as great, says
the Gemara as Moshe Rabbeinu. Literally. Roish HaTishra Olav Shechina K'Moshe Rabbeinu. But he just lived in a different generation. Right? Wrong place at the wrong time. It was the wrong dar. Had he lived in the Midbar at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, he could have been the Makabal Torah. They said about Hillel, U'kishameis Amr Olav Haychasid Hayonav Talmidei Shal Ezra. Moshe, Ezra, Hillel. Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra, the Gemara says, we know about Ezra. I mean, if you learn Nach, we know about Ezra. And Ezra played a very, very important role. The whole Bayis Sheni was established by Ezra. Ezra made another bris. And Ruya Hoysa Teir Shatinas and Teir Ayodav Afopi Shalai Nitna Ayodav Ba Nishtan Ayodav. Hillel has a very similar legacy. Hillel was maybe Roy Shatishol of Shechina Kemoish Rabbeinu. And he's mit Talmid of Shal Ezra. The Afopi Shalai Nitna Teir Ayodav. On some level, it was Nishtana Torah Yadai. From Hillel's time forward, all the Talmidim, all the Chachamim would be known as the Talmidim of Hillel, base Hillel, and in terms of the Nesius, the way it would play itself out moving forward, everything changed from Hillel's times. Up until Hillel, it was sporadic. There was a Nasi. But from Hillel forward, the Nesius wasn't just the Nesius. The Nesius represented Malchus. Either way, we learn a Gemara of Sachem Daf Samech Vav, but the Gemara says the B'nai B'Seira, they were the ones that were ruling. One of the three, the Marashah says, I don't know which, but one of the three was the Nasi, and all of a sudden they forgot a Halacha because they forgot to be Ma'abed HaChodesh, like Rav Reuven Margolis says in his Sefer, and like the Chassam Sofer says already, and that they weren't, they didn't take care of the Chodesh to manipulate the year, to make sure that Yudal Nisan wouldn't fall out of Shabbos. All of a sudden there was a Shaila, there was one Yid from Bavel who knew, his name was Hillel HaBavli. Hillel became the Nasi, and when Hillel became the Nasi, it would change the landscape of the way Yiddishkeit looked till the Churban and beyond the Churban for hundreds and hundreds of years. Bezrat Hashem will do a part 2.